Right at the beginning, I'm struggling at the moment with my hearing. My hearing aids aren't working properly, and so everything sounds super loud. But if you're during the service have trouble hearing what I'm saying, indicate to me, and I'll speak a bit louder. Okay. Anyway, one of the things I love to do, I love to sing hymns, and I like to find out about hymns. I'm going to share a hymn with you right now from the 3rd century. This was a hymn that was used to begin worship with. It says, "May none of God's wonderful works keep silent, night or morning, bright stars, high mountains, the depths of the seas, sources of rushing rivers, may all these break into song as we sing to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May the angels in the heavens reply, Amen, Amen, Amen. Power, praise, honour, eternal glory to God, the only giver of grace. Amen, Amen, Amen." Those sentiments are echoed in our first hymn, "Angel voices ever singing round thy throne of light." Worship continues as we come to God in prayer, let us pray. We praise you, O God. We praise you for not only being the God of history, but the God of our lives too. We bless you because you've gathered us here today to remind us that although you are the one to whom all power belongs, you care for the weak and the powerless, even the likes of us. And we praise you again and again for joining your life to ours in such a special way through Jesus our Lord. For he proved his great love for you and for each person in the way he lived, releasing what was captive, lifting up the burdened, empowering the powerless. Dear God, source of loving kindness and strength, we bow before you and we worship you. Jesus, foundation of our faith, we worship you and we offer ourselves to you again. Holy Spirit, ground of our very being, we open ourselves to you and we worship you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, meet with us and bless us now, for we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We join together in the prayer that Jesus gave us as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I was going to say, now's the opportunity to leave us if you want to go to junior church, but that's not an option for you lot. You've got to stay here and listen to me. But if there were children, they could go now. I've chosen this next hymn because this is a hymn that we don't sing very often nowadays. It seems to be superseded by others of a similar nature. This hymn says, The King of Love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. We'll stand and sing together. Thank you, Brian. I'm turning to scripture now, a reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened calf have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come, come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their cities. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guests, he noticed a man who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" Thanks be to God for this his word. Amen. Does anyone remember this? Come on, think about it. Aha! Brian does. I gave you one of these some years ago. It's a simple teaspoon. And if you remember, I told you what it meant, if you use it as a reminder. If you think about a teaspoon, abbreviated form, TSP, especially when you say your prayers, it reminds you. Thanks, sorry, please. It sits on my desk. I look at it every morning, and it reminds me just what I've got to say. Well, I've got another piece of cutlery to show you this morning. Some of you have already seen it. Here we go. Not a teaspoon. It's a dessert fork. I'm going to give you one shortly. But I got this idea that I'm going to share with you on one of my trips to America a few years ago. It's another reminder. Now, I like Americans. I always have done. But Americans do things differently to us. For one thing, most of them only ever eat with one of these, a fork. It's strange, but it's true. They start off like us, with a knife in the right hand and a fork in the left. But once the food's cut up, they put the knife down, pick up the fork, and use that in the right hand to eat with. Talk about fork handles, I don't know. But there's no spoon. To eat dessert, they use the same fork as before. It's strange, but it's true. Well, with that in mind, the story goes that once there was a woman who'd been given just a few months to live. So as she started to get things in order, she called her minister to discuss her final wishes. She told him what hymns she wanted sung, what scriptures she wanted read, and that she also requested to be buried with her favourite Bible. Well, after a little while there, and everything in order, the minister got up to leave. But then the woman suddenly remembered something very important to her. "Oh, there's one more thing," she said. "What's that?" asked the minister. "Well, this is very important," the woman continued. "I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand." "Why? Whatever for?" asked the minister. The woman said, "Well, in all my years of attending church socials and suppers, I always remember that when the dishes of the main course were being cleared, someone would inevitably lean over and say to me, 'Keep your fork.' And this was my favourite part, because I knew something better was coming, like chocolate cake or apple pie and cream. But something wonderful and with substance was on its way. So I just want people to see me there in that coffin with a fork in my right hand. And I want them to wonder, 'What's with the fork?' Then I want you to tell them, 'Keep your fork, for the best is yet to come.'" Think about it. The best is yet to come. I've got a bag full of forks. And as we sing our next song, some brave souls are going to give these out. Volunteers to give forks out? Don't all stand and sit there at once. Come on, get the forks out. There's enough for everybody to have one. And take it home. Put it on the mantelpiece. And when you see it, think about what Jesus has got to say to you, because the best is yet to come. Going to sing our next hymn. And I think, yeah, it's a music group hymn. It's another hymn that we don't sing all that often, but I love this hymn. "Oh my soul, arise and bless your Maker, for he is your master and your friend, slow to wrath, but rich in tender mercy. Worship the Saviour Jesus." Thank you. When you're ready.
Thank you.
Now, the parable we read today is all about an invitation to a special event. And it tells us how people respond to that invitation. But this parable is not just meant to teach us social graces. It comes with much more than that. For instance, it begins with the phrase, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared." Compared to, in other words, it's revealing something about God and his reign in our lives. This is what the kingdom of heaven is all about. But knowing who Jesus was talking to when he told this parable will help us to understand it a little better. You see, this parable was told shortly after Jesus cleansed the temple. It was near to the end of his ministry. And when he was telling this parable, he was actually in the temple itself. Jesus was speaking to the crowds who came to hear him. And by this time, there were crowds. Many crowds. Are you still got me? You still hearing me? Yep. And Jesus was speaking to these people forcibly. These were the people who in the past had called Jesus the Messiah when he entered Jerusalem. These were the people who wanted to see him become the king, their king. These were his followers. But there were also scribes and Pharisees there as well, listening to what he had to say. And part of his message was to them. But the truth was, they weren't really interested in what Jesus had to say. They just wanted to see him dead and gone. A parable directed to the people. But it also has a message to the people and to the leaders of the people. Basically, it's got two parts. The first part, a king is preparing a marriage feast for his son. And it's such a special occasion, this. And the king wanted it to be the best it could possibly be. I remember going to your wedding, which wasn't so long ago now, really. And that was a terrific event. Your dad kept telling us it was a terrific event. You'd never forget that. It was wonderful. A great time. When our daughter got married, it was our responsibility. And I chased all over the place just so it was right. And it was. It was a great day, as yours was. Super day. A special occasion. But doesn't matter how special it was, some people didn't want to go. Now, people don't often fail to go to a feast that's planned by a king. If they did, well, the king would be finished with them. There and then, nothing more to do with them. But this king was different. He was so gracious, and he gave these folks a second chance. He sends out his servants with another message. "Tell these people who are invited that I've made everything ready. The food's prepared. The tables are set. I almost want to say the wine is poured." And the king says, "Come. Come to the feast, the wedding feast of my son." But once again, they insulted the king by not going. Some even make light of the invitation and mock the king. Others consider their business more important. Some even grabbed the king's servants and killed them. And as you can imagine, this angered the king so much that he destroyed those people and the places where they lived. And then he said to his servants again, "The wedding feast is ready, and those invited were not worthy. So go into the streets and invite everyone to come to this feast." So the servants did, just as the king instructed, went out and invited everyone, the good and the bad, to come to the feast. And they kept coming until the place was full. This part of the parable represents the reaction of the people to the coming of Christ, the Son of the Heavenly King. In the parable, the king represents God. And as is often the case, the wedding feast represents the kingdom of God, which the Son will establish. A message has been sent. It was sent through John the Baptist and other prophets. It was sent to the leaders of the people, telling them that the kingdom was at hand and to get themselves ready to be part of it. They were being invited to a celebration of God's Son entering this world, entering the kingdom. But then, as now, some made light of John's insistence that the kingdom was at hand. Others just ignored it and went about their business. Some even went as far as to have him killed. Sound familiar? We know this story so well, don't we? But I have to tell you, brother, in the course of your ministry, there'll be those who want to get rid of you. Make no bones about it. We ministers come with the message, they come with the word, and it's still not accepted. Even in this day and age, with all that's gone before, people are still willing to ignore it and go their own way. And the result will be the same, now as then. And this is the point of the first part of the parable. Everyone has been invited. Jesus went straight to the people, in the streets, wherever. He told them that the kingdom was at hand. He didn't just go down the nice streets. He went down every street. He not only invited the good people who went to the synagogues and the temple, but he also invited people who didn't go anywhere. Publicans, sinners, prostitutes, thieves. He invited everyone, ordinary people. Even people like you and me. And I could make such a lot of this if the parable ended there. But it doesn't, does it? In the second part of the parable, the king comes to view the guests which his servants have got together. And he looks across the banquet hall. And as he does, he notices one who's not wearing a wedding garment. Now, it would probably be very easy to pick this guy out. All the others would be wearing a white garment, which was a customary suit for a wedding. But this man didn't, and he would have stuck out like a sore thumb. So the king approached him and he said to him, "How did you get in here without a wedding garment?" The guy didn't know what to say. No excuse. A garment had probably been supplied for him to wear. But where was it? So the king ordered the man to be thrown out into the darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the parable ends with these enigmatic words, "For there are many called, but few are chosen." So what does that mean? Many are called, few are chosen. And what's this business about the guest being thrown out into the out of darkness? That's not very nice, is it? That doesn't sound like Jesus to me. Well, The parable had seemed pretty straightforward to this point. But this last part, this part of the parable, was a condemnation of the actions of the leaders of the Jewish people. An indictment of the actions of the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus was having a go at them. And it explained why Jesus took his message to the people, because they weren't listening to him. And the parable told the people that they were being invited by Almighty God to take part in the kingdom of heaven, and they needed to respond and come to the banquet hall. The parable itself is an invitation. And we need to remember this, folks. Jesus was talking to the people. Okay, scribes and Pharisees, they were listening. But the primary audience was those who were being invited. Not the ones who'd refused the invitation, but those who were accepting the invitation just by listening to what Jesus said. It's a warning that being invited is not enough. All the guests had been called to participate, but in the end, some weren't chosen to stay. And the one who was not chosen was the one who was not prepared to participate in the kingdom. He wasn't prepared to wear the white garment, the garment that marked him out as being different. When we come to know Jesus and we accept him as Lord and Saviour, we're given a different garment to wear. A wedding garment, if you like. It sets us apart. It makes us different. And people can see that we're different. If we're not prepared to wear that garment and be different, well, where do you think that's going to put us? Where are we going to end up? All the guests to this feast were clothed the same. Initially, they were all wearing garments that of everyday life, stained and soiled by the streets. And they came wearing whatever they'd got. But once they'd arrived, once they met with Jesus, they had this other garment, a new garment, which they were expected to wear. A garment which had been washed clean and was suitable for being in the presence of the king. And the message, simple. You are invited to the kingdom of heaven. Come appropriately dressed in a robe of righteousness. It's relevant today, just as it was then. It's no good saying we're okay. No good saying we'll manage. There has to be a change. You can almost hear him. Well, I can. I am a servant of my Lord and King, the Sovereign of Heaven. I and my fellow servants have been sent into the streets to invite people to a feast. I've come here to announce to you that you are cordially invited to a feast to honour and celebrate the wedding of the only son of the king, the Prince of Heaven, Jesus Christ. A feast has been prepared, the lamb has been slain, so make ready and come. Today, we too are cordially invited. All of us are. But we can't come as we are, we're dressed as we are, as I've said. Our clothes are too stained by the sinfulness of this life. They're battered and torn by our lifestyles, by the very sin we commit. And they're just not suitable. We're not suitable for an occasion like this. To be allowed into the banquet hall, we must be clothed in the righteousness of God. We must be wearing a robe washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. In my first church, which is fair to say it was somewhat old-fashioned, a baptismal candidate was given a red cloak to wear before they came into the pool. And they sat in the church during the service with this red cloak. When they came into the pool, the red cloak was taken off. They came into the pool, they were baptised, and when they went out, they were given a white cloak to wear, which symbolised just this. We don't do it now, it's a bit old-fashioned, isn't it? But it's dying to the old self, rising to the new. My son-in-law, I'll rephrase it, our son-in-law is an healing pastor. I was telling someone about him earlier this morning. He was called to a little tiny church in Cannock. When he told me about it, I said to him, "You want your head looking. 20 members, not going anywhere, not doing anything. You'll flog yourself to death, son." This afternoon, he's baptising 4 more people in the River Trent, of all places, Great Heywood, out in the open so everybody can see. He's now got 60 members. And how has he done it? I'll tell you how he's done it. He's done it by encouraging what few he's got to go out into the marketplace in the centre of Cannock and to tell people about Jesus and what he can do for them. That's how he's done it. I'm amazed. And I do stand amazed. And I think, how wonderful. I wish I could do it. But I suppose I can. I wish you could do it. But I suppose you can. You can too. Somehow, in our own small way, when God leads us to talk to people outside of this place, we must tell them what Jesus can do. That Jesus can change a life. He can give you a new garment to wear that sets you apart, that makes you new and clean and fresh. We used to say years ago, washed in the blood of the Lamb. I don't say that now because it frightens people to death. But that's what I'm talking about. Washed in the blood. Obtaining a new robe. The robe of righteousness and salvation. And there's only one place we can get a robe like that, isn't there? And that's at the foot of the cross. There's only one person who can supply such a cloak as that. And that's the bridegroom himself, Jesus. You can't go to the marketplace and get a cloak like this. Or even a posh shop where I had this suit from in town. They don't supply them. Haven't got any. Can't even get them online. You've got to come to the bridegroom, meet him, know him, and be clothed again by him. We can't stay as we are. This church can't stay as it is. We've got to grow. We've got to move. We've got to invite people to share this life with us. This is probably something we all know about. We've probably known about it for years. But maybe, just maybe, we need to hear it again. Huh? So let's make the effort. Let's come when we're invited. He calls us again this morning, you and me. Make a change. Ask Jesus to come into your life again. Let's make sure that we've got the right clothes for the future. The robe of righteousness, the garment of salvation. Don't be afraid. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to be frightened of. Because remember, the best is yet to come. May God bless you all. Amen. We're going to sing again. It's strange how things work out, isn't it? I'd chosen a different hymn to this one. We practiced it on Thursday night. But it just didn't seem right. The words were, but it just didn't seem right. And here we are, or here they are, with half a group. David's poorly, I'm not with them. So the correct, Dawn, one of the singers, not here. So the right decision was made. God led us to this hymn instead. And it's a joyful hymn. The trumpets sound, the angels sing, the feast is ready to begin. I'm saying the old words. Praise him on the trumpet, the psaltery and harp. Praise him on the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments too. Praise him on loud cymbals. Praise him on loud cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It's a great hymn of praise, one that puts me right in the mood for all that's to come. We stand and sing together. Thank you.
Praise him on the trumpet, in the psaltery and harp. Praise him on the timbrel and the dance. Sing with stringed instruments too. Praise him on the cymbals. Praise him on the cymbals. Let everything that's there praise the Lord. Almighty God.
Loving Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this morning with praise and thanksgiving. We bless you for your faithful love, a love that never fails, not even if we turn away from you or ignore you. Your invitation is always there. You never desert us. Would you call us and bless us time and time again? Even now, you invite us back once more into that special relationship with you. So we come. Come as we are. You welcome us. Come. You clothe us again in the garment of righteousness and salvation. And as you welcome us, you welcome our prayers too. And these prayers we bring to you now with confidence, knowing in our hearts that you will hear us and you will answer us. So we pray, Father, for the world you created and the people who share it with us. We pray especially for all the countries in our world who are caught up in war or violent conflict. We pray, Father, for places in our world
still struggling with COVID-19. All the people who are still affected because of this virus. We pray, Father, for all those whose homes and lives have been threatened or ruined by natural disaster. We pray especially for people who are struggling because of mindless violence. They hurt. People who are hurt and grieving in our world. We think of the mums and dads, grandparents, aunties and uncles who are grieving the loss of a little life. Child loved and cared for. We think of those who are trying to come to terms with a disaster, probably caused by fellow human beings, but nevertheless a disaster, an explosion that's ruined and will ruin lots of lives in Ireland. We pray for our own country here, England, and for its people, for our king and government, for all our leaders, national and local, for our judicial system, our police forces and military, for our cities, towns and rural communities, for employers and employees, for young and old, everyone who's part of this great country. We pray for our local community, the people of this town, for all those who are unemployed, for all those who are hungry, for all those who are alone and afraid. For all those who need to know the saving power of Jesus in their lives. Our neighbours, our friends, everyone. We pray for this congregation here, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We remember before you, Father, those who are ill or whose loved ones are ill. For those who are anxious about the future. For those who are struggling with their faith. For those who minister amongst us. Elders, deacons, Pastor, we bring to you this place and all its people. We seek your blessing. We bow before you and we ask you again to pour out your Spirit on us. Even now, fix our hearts and our minds on what is true and honourable and right. Give us the joy and peace that comes from knowing and doing your will. Keep us faithful, Father, to the call that we've received in Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us to extend your loving creation to our world around us. And knowing him in our hearts and lives, help us to be more like Jesus in the things we say and do. For we ask it in his name, as we ask all our prayers, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. The hymn I've chosen to bring our service to its conclusion today, another well-known hymn, well, it's to me anyway. Just as I am thine own to be, friend of the young who lovest me, to consecrate myself to thee, O Jesus Christ, I come. Now, you know, you haven't got to be a boy or a girl to sing this hymn with meaning. We can all sing it. Just as I am, I come. Thank you. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.